This is Bob from KTWH Radio, and I'm talking with Dr. Sam Kelly, who's an associate professor at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at UMD, a researcher with the UM Large Lakes Observatory that's also in Duluth. He got his undergraduate degree in physics from Carleton College, a PhD in oceanography from Oregon State University, and then has researched at the University of Western Australia and also at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology before coming to UMD in 2014. I emailed Sam when I saw that he's working with NASA on a project that uses a satellite to map the world's oceans, lakes, and rivers. Sam, welcome to KTWH Radio.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
I'd like to start maybe way before even Carleton College and ask you, where did you grow up and what do you think first got you really interested in science?
I grew up in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I always enjoyed math and going to the beach. And I had a great aunt. I would go to the Jersey Shore every summer with her. She was from Pennsylvania. And I just loved watching the waves come in, and I wanted to figure out a way I could have a job that would let me, you know, see waves as part of my daily routine.
Good answer. You know, I read some stuff about you on the website and looked at some of the research work you'd done, and I picked up on some words that seemed to be a focus of your studies, words like tides and energy and current and prediction and variability and models and wave generation and propagation. I get the feeling you're working on moving water somehow. Could you give us a more clear idea of generally what kinds of things you work on?
Yeah. So, you know, most of us are familiar with waves, especially those of us who live along Lake Superior. And so that was originally what I was interested in studying was, you know, how these waves are generated and how they propagate and break on beaches or how they erode sediment or whatever. Of course, you can't necessarily study that as an undergrad, so I studied physics, and I was at a smaller school that didn't have any sort of coastal engineering programs. And so then I started looking into graduate school, and, well, it turned out that I was accepted into a program to look at tidal waves, and so that's where my focus has been ever since. It's a kind of a niche industry where we're really interested in the details of how tides propagate around the Earth, and in particular how when you have a multi-layered ocean, so you have warm water at the surface and cold water underneath, how the tides kind of push those layers up and down. So we call that the internal tide. Yeah, it's in the end, it's physics. It's all wave propagation. A lot of the same equations you'd use for surface waves, you can use for tides and for internal waves and fluid dynamics all the time.
Okay.
And, large scale fluid dynamics.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that is good. You know, how I got into picture and trying to get in touch with you was, I read on the UMD or at the university website about this project that you're working apparently with NASA, and I guess they call it the SWOT. You can sort that out in a second. But how did you get hooked up with them, and you know, what is that project, and where are you fitting in?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my background was in oceanography and primarily looking at tides. And then in 2014, I was lucky enough to get hired by the University of Minnesota Duluth to come here and start looking at large lakes as well. And so I kind of have a foot in both worlds. I study both the oceans and large lakes. And in, I think it was about 2015, there was a call out from NASA. They were looking to put together a science team they're building the satellite, and they wanted a bunch of scientists to kind of weigh in on what they could do with the data and what the best, you know, potential uses for the data were, and a lot of sort of small processing questions about what, you know, how to process the data, how to disseminate the data, all this stuff. So it sounded pretty exciting, and I put in a proposal to join the science team and was selected. And so for the last, I guess, almost 8 years now, I've been going to annual meetings. It's been really exciting to be part of a team that NASA put together.
Well, that does sound like fun. And Well, speaking of that, how about this for a question? What are some of the most enjoyable things about the work you do?
Yeah, so, well, I am a nerd, so I enjoy the just solving problems and you know, writing down solutions to equations and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing it really draws me to oceanography is, well, you can see it. You know, a lot of physics, you know, when you're talking about subatomic particles and that kind of stuff, it's kind of theoretical in a way. But, you know, I can go out and I can watch the water move. And so I really like that aspect of it. And another, you know, fun thing about it, we don't really know that much about large lakes and the ocean. There's a lot of unsampled places. Last time I heard, there was some sections of the ocean that are like the size of France that no one's ever gone to, you know, put a boat out there and drop a temperature sensor down and actually see what the water looks like. It's just giant swaths of the unknown out there. It's still a north of science.
Wow, that is very interesting. And if things are going well, I trust, with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of societal benefit to studying large lakes and the ocean, you know, from water quality issues, especially with fresh water, if we want to drink it, if we want to eat fish out of it. There's, of course, the fisheries component. And then, you know, there's climate issues as well, you know, just long-term predictions of climate, but also short-term predictions of weather. So there's just a lot of benefit to a lot of folks if we can better understand how these things work.
I guess, yeah. It sounds very interesting. You know, standing on the shore of Lake Superior is something that I think all of us can relate to. And hey, maybe you get to write that off as work in your business.
Yeah. You know, there are opportunities to travel to some beautiful places. Unfortunately, a lot of the big experiments in Hawaii and at Tahiti have already been done. And so right now I'm looking at experiments in, you know, the middle of a storm in the North Atlantic or something like that, where you kind of get beat up. It's not the tropical vacation you'd hope for.
So you've got a prescription for Dramamine, then, I imagine.
Yeah, I spend plenty of time pretty green out there.
I hear you. That is cool stuff. One thing I want to make sure I get to, by the way, is I think I mentioned that one of the major drivers for me doing these interviews for our local radio is to expose students and young adults to the variety of very interesting things that are going on in science and engineering and technology, and especially these days. And some of these folks are looking to start a career in a STEM-related field. And based on your experiences, do you have any kind of general advice that you can give them about how to make that path easier?
Yeah, I mean, I can give plenty of advice. You know, one thing is you don't have to know exactly what job you're going to do when you get done, especially in the STEM fields. Just developing skills in school and looking for opportunities, you'd be amazed at what sort of jobs are out there that you've never heard of, that they're looking for someone who has, you know, skills. In the physics department, people are constantly asking us, you know, what could you possibly do with a physics degree? And the answer apparently is a lot of stuff, because, you know, our majors find jobs. The other thing I would say is to be proactive and you know, think about the stuff you're interested in and figure out a way to do it, because, you know, becoming an oceanographer, it was not a direct line that I followed from the time I graduated high school to the time I got a PhD. It was sort of, you know, I'm interested in this thing, and I started looking around for opportunities, and next thing you know, you're off on your own. And, you know, if you just look at the menu of classes at a university and you follow the full chart towards graduation, that's one thing, but, you know, figuring out how to do a little research on something you're interested in, or how to get a summer job in a place you're interested in, or something like that, that can make a huge difference in your career. You know, or even taking a class outside of your major. You know, it's nothing wrong with being a double major in, you know, sociology and chemistry, because you know what? There's probably a job out there for someone who's got those skills.
Gotcha. I like that. Tell you what, before we wrap up this whole thing, there may be some other things that I'm not hitting here. Are we missing something? Is there something else that you'd like to say? Sometimes people like to talk about who they ran into in their way to a career that were, you know, very helpful, or in general, you know, the role of teachers and stuff, and you know how they influence you. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this interview, or if not, that's okay too.
Certainly, you know, science is you know, especially as you become a grad student, there's a lot of mentoring involved, and sometimes it takes a little while to meet the right people and to get in with the, you know, each field has its own different types of personalities, and I found one thing I enjoyed about oceanography was there's a lot of, you know, sort of adventurous people that, you know, were pretty easy to work with, and I have many mentors that, you know, I was able to look at and say, gosh, that's where I want to be in 10 years or 20 years. So finding those people can make a huge difference.
Okay.
We should talk a bit about the satellite, because I should.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a satellite altimeter from NASA. It's been in, the idea for it was launched in like the early 2000s, and they've spent the last 20 years, you know, refining the idea and then actually building the stuff, and it was launched in December, and it's currently up there in orbit, and they're just starting to turn on the instruments, and so far so good.
Excellent.
So we're all very excited about some actual data coming down. I think the first data for science will be available maybe in late spring or early summer. It's all publicly available data, so it's not... I'm on the science team, but that doesn't give me any sort of special access. But basically, an altimeter, this thing is measuring the height of the Earth to within a sub-centimeter scale, so just a few millimeters of accuracy.
Wow.
And so they've been doing this for... The first altimeter was launched in the early 90s, so it's been going for 30 years. Not the same satellite, but they keep relaunching satellites with the same technology.
Yeah.
This one is very exciting because instead of just measuring the point underneath the satellite, it's actually going to measure a swath, a 120-kilometer wide swath of the Earth as it goes around. And so it's going to get much, much higher resolution, like... you know, we'll be able to measure the heights of lakes that are a kilometer across, I think is the goal, within a centimeter. And then they want to measure, there's two things. There's measuring the height of the ocean, so you can actually see ocean eddies, and you can see currents and things like that cause the surface to deform a little bit. That's the oceanography side. Then there's the whole hydrology side of measuring the height of lakes and the slopes in rivers. And so this is the one that blows me away. They're going to be able to measure the slope of a river. They're going to be able to see a 1 centimeter drop over a kilometer. So they'll be able to see that the river's a little higher here and a little lower there, and then figure out how fast it's flowing based on how steep it is.
That is amazing. I live on a little river, and I'll have to remember to dress nice when I'm down there if those guys are out shooting. Wow. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The hydrologists in particular are super excited about it because this is going to be the first satellite that's really going to be able to measure the height of almost every lake in the world.
Wow.
And, you know, there's a lot of lakes where we just don't get out and have lake level gauges. So
sure.
There'll be a lot of new information. The reason it's exciting for the Great Lakes area is because the previous resolution for ocean currents and eddies was sort of about 100 kilometers. But unfortunately, that's about the width of the lake of Lake Superior, in the, you know, across the short way.
Right.
So it wasn't really that accurate to be able to map out the surface current, the eddies and things in Lake Superior. But now we're going to this with the wide swath. I think they're going to be able to map things down to about 10 kilometers. So now we're going to be able to actually see, eddies that are spinning around out in the middle of Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. So. You know, that high resolution is going to be a game changer for being able to look at the Great Lakes.
Oh, man, I'm glad we got to hear all this. With a little town sitting right on the lake, you know, it's I'm sure there's going to be a lot of active listeners that are really interested to hear about this. Go ahead.
Oh, it's exciting, and it's particularly exciting because, you know, it's a new satellite, it's a new technology. We don't really know if it's going to work yet, so we have to wait till the data comes in and actually look at it to see if it's got the precision that we need and the accuracy that we need. And it's exciting.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's a great interview right there. And so, thank you very much for being with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was great to talk.
And that was Sam Kelly, researcher at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at UMD, and also doing work on large lakes, including Lake Superior, at the Large Lakes Observatory.